Hello, welcome. This is Jeshua. One of the most profound teachings of my life, a teaching that I like to call Open Rider, came for me in one of the most difficult and challenging chapters of my womanhood. And I'd love to share this teaching with you by way of telling you a story. It was the spring of 2009, and my little young family had recently moved away from our community in Ashland, Oregon, and into my mother's house in a small town in western Massachusetts. My little girl, Arayla, was 4 years old at the time. She was active and precocious, consumed by everything pink and cute and furry. Ezra, my son, at 6 months old, was impossibly cherubic, with bright copper ringlets. He was this beaming bundle of huge-hearted curiosity. It was gloriously green springtime in one of the most beautiful parts of New England. If you've ever been to western Massachusetts, you know what I'm talking about. And it was supposedly the springtime of my adulthood as well, with flourishing children and a young marriage and a wide open future. In reality, however, there were many moments I felt ravaged by emotional pain. You see, I had not wanted to move away from Ashland, where we had lived since Arayla was an infant. At the point we decided to move, my husband Chris had been struggling for over 2 years to maintain steady employment. The economic crisis of 2008 certainly hadn't helped matters. Fresh out of grad school and overwhelmed by the sudden pressure of needing to provide for a family, my husband was doing his best to rise to the occasion of so much responsibility. Meanwhile, incompatibilities between our differing life values, our domestic preferences, our spiritual perspectives, and our relational desires, all of which had been red flags for both of us from the start, suddenly became terrifyingly exacerbated. We loved each other, and yet I was disappointed and lonely in our marriage. Likewise, Chris seemed anxiously burdened and trapped by the roles our relationship had defined for him. Our affection and closeness suffered, of course. We made love less and we argued more. Our hearts were breaking and we couldn't seem to find our way back to the family we once knew. Another factor in this move was the sudden ending of my parents' 38-year marriage. For a while, this unexpected loss drove my mom into such a state of traumatized disillusionment that my younger sisters and I were deeply concerned for her well-being. And so there I was, picture it, a young mother of two small children, broke, in a marriage on the brink of disaster, while my own despairing mother was living in a huge empty house on the other side of the country. What seemed at the time like the most obvious choice to make, to move our young family in with her, in retrospect became the orchestration of a perfect storm. Suddenly, I found myself in a completely unfamiliar community with all our belongings stored in my mother's basement, wondering what had happened to my life. Chris still hadn't found a job, and his self-esteem seemed to be rapidly eroding. I could see my marriage ending before it did, like reading tea leaves on our family tree, and this filled me with anxious dread. I rented an office in town, and I started seeing healing clients again to make money for our family, but nothing was enough to stop the ship from sinking. Some mornings, my dear mom was so depressed she needed help getting out of bed. I would climb the stairs to her top floor bedroom suite, her favorite mug of hot milky coffee in my hand. And as I approached her room, Sensing the dark weight of her pain, I couldn't help but fear the worst. As I went to her bedside and rocked her body gently awake, I would always feel deeply relieved just to find her still breathing. "Good morning, Mom," I would say, trying to sound calm and upbeat. "It's a new day. I brought you some coffee." Serendipitously, the house next door to my mother's house suddenly came up for rent, and my middle sister decided to move into it with her pregnant wife and three young children. At first, this lifted my spirits. It would be like a family compound. Maybe this unexpected East Coast life chapter could make sense after all. Together, we all moved into action. We got goats and chickens, we put up fences, and planted a robust vegetable garden. Yet this utopian fantasy was resting on top of a precarious set of circumstances and immediately triggered my firstborn child pattern of over-responsibility. While the young cousins, five of them all under the age of six, innocently rejoiced in our extended family experiment, sweetly chasing after newborn baby goats in the grasses, my own heart grew darker and heavier under the emotional weight of it all. It sometimes felt like it was up to me to take care of everyone, to hold it all together for everybody, and with no one available to support or take care of me. This victim story of over-responsibility was an excruciatingly familiar one that had echoed throughout my life from the time I was a very little girl. And here it was again, showing up in an overwhelming set of adult life circumstances. Finally, in a moment of desperation, I decided to reach out to my beloved teacher Gangaji for support. I sat down to write her an email and quickly discovered, uncharacteristically, that I couldn't even find the clarity of mind with which to articulate my struggle. So I ended up writing her only a single word, "Help!" I knew the energetic transmission that accompanied the email would reach her masterfully attuned listening. Within an hour, Gangaji had responded to my email. The email had two life-changing words in it. It read, "Open wider." At first, I didn't know what she meant. Open wider? What could she even mean? Open wider to what? Open wider how? But I was at the end of my emotional rope, and I trusted her implicitly. So I did as she said. I moved away from the computer and snuck into a spare room, closing the door behind me. I found a spot against the wall on the floor to sit. Open wider. Open wider. Oh my God, how? To what? I didn't even know where to start. So I decided to start exactly where I was with all I was presently experiencing. I opened wider to the heartbreaking pain I was feeling for myself and all of my loved ones. I opened wider to my fear that it was indeed all completely ruined and falling apart. I opened wider to the raw hurt of my feminine loneliness, the potent shame and fear entangled in my sexuality, my lurking anxiety about how long it had been since my husband and I had touched. I opened wider to the terrifying probability that if he hadn't already done so, my deeply unhappy husband would soon begin looking elsewhere for sexual intimacy. I opened wider to the possibility of our marriage ending disastrously and what this would mean for my children. I opened wider to the dark abyss of my postpartum exhaustion and the seemingly endless list of domestic duties. I opened wider to my vulnerability and fear as I imagined becoming the dreaded working single mother. I opened wider to my own unfelt grief about my parents' marriage ending, how sad I felt to not have them together anymore, to lose our family as I had known it. I was losing two families at once. Tearfully, I bowed my head as I opened wider to my terror of somehow losing my mother to her despair. I opened my broken heart wider to the utter pain of adult disillusionment, to the shocking disappointment I felt about the reality versus my long-honed fantasy of being married with children. I opened to the immensity of my sorrow over life falling so incredibly short of perfect. I opened and opened, wider and wider, and let the pain become my heart. I let down all my guards, all my armory, surrendering all my resistance to this pain, totally taking me. I let there be no separation between myself and this pain. What more was there to lose? On that day in June, sitting up against the wall in my mother's guest room, I opened wider, fully and completely, to the immense pain of my life, and I let it have me. In this true surrender, this undefended opening, a small miracle occurred. In the place of helpless despair, I suddenly experienced peace reverberating throughout my being. The very worst had been faced openly and truly, and I was okay. Everything was truly okay. I knew then I had unlocked a treasure that would be with me for the rest of my human life. What a mystery this is! How is this even possible that deep peace can be discovered at the core of suffering? How can this be that unfathomable, undeniable wholeness is what is revealed when we have the courage to open wider to whatever is arising? Our resistance to life, whatever its flavor, brings us suffering. Our willingness to be fully intimate with life, whatever its flavor, brings us deeper home to life. You too are free to open wider to it all, to yourself, every moment. You are free to open wider to life itself with all it might include, from the excruciating depths of loss to the discomfort of uncertainty, to the vulnerability of love and attachment, to the sheer tenderness of gratitude. You are free to open wider to the grace of self-compassion, the racing mind of fear, the throb of heartache, and the simple gift of wonder. It is common to fear the worst. If we really open all the way to the emotional pain within us, who's to say we won't be entirely consumed by it? Or if we truly open all the way to love, who's to say we won't be betrayed, injured, or abandoned like the last time? We might fear that opening all the way to joy is an invitation for that joy to disappear. We might worry that if we truly open to whatever is present at the core of our life, we might completely lose our minds, or die of heartbreak, or both. We might worry that it will all fall hopelessly apart. Perhaps it will. Life is unruly, unpredictable, and disastrously messy. Things fall apart all the time. Marriages, families, jobs, minds, bodies. They all fall apart eventually. Hearts break continuously. Life's only guarantee is to continuously provide ruthless and humbling teachings. But resisting what's present in fear and defense against life, love, and death is a recipe for an unlived life, for numbness and complacency, for ongoing suffering. So whatever the fear or resistance, I urge you, my friend, to bravely persist and open even wider to whatever you are feeling. As my teacher reassures us, we can always go back to the old familiar way if this experiment fails to lead us to something new. Let whatever is here grow even bigger. Open to it fully. Let it in even more completely. Let yourself, as you are, all the way in. If you don't resist, you will discover there is truly nothing your heart cannot bear. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. To learn more about my membership program, private mentoring, my writings, and other offerings, please visit jesua.com. That's jesua.com. The beautiful music accompanying this track is by Adie Bell. You can find more of her music at oracle88.com. Until the next time, I'm sending you love.